You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. Enjoy the show. Back to the fires for a second. There was one, and back to Dollywood, one of the Dollywood employees found a single page from that was left from a Bible that had been consumed in the fire, and it had some really stirring verses that were on there, and you said that you checked it out on Snopes.
Snopes said it, you know, the local news media, the Knoxville news media, picked it up, and several people vetted it out and said that this was really happening. Because my first thought was, you know, this is probably just somebody scamming. But at the end of the day, it appeared to be very, very legitimate, and basically talked about, you know, God bringing judgment of fire on our nation before the day of the Lord. And so people can go online and look it up themselves and read it. But, you know, if it is a harbinger of things to come, if God does move, and I believe he does, move in that realm today where he always gives warning to those that are truly listening, I think several things we can learn from it. That is, we see the church persecuted because, again, that area is largely Christian people. There will be nobody to come to our aid because nobody came to the aid of those people. I mean, the aid that came from brothers and sisters. It came from within the community of faith, largely. And second is that, you know, God is a God. That he's a God of judgment, and we have to realize that. Mark, unrequited blood that has been shed by man. You know, when I shed a man's blood when he's innocent, God holds, it seems like there's a collective debt that the nation takes on for that blood. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in a land of unclean people, and woe is me, for I'm undone. I mean, we want to read those words and don't think they apply today, but I'd say that they do apply. And the blood of 70 million children is not going away anytime soon. And then we've taken the most holy institution God gave as the foundation of the family throughout eternity, or throughout human history on this planet, the family, a man, a woman, marry, they stay together and raise children. And then that family is responsible for the continuance of the gospel. We are to train our children in the scripture and in the way of serving God. We have made a mockery of this, and I really don't think at the end of the day that Washington can fix it or will even attempt to fix it. Not when the church is completely silent on it. When I say completely silent, I mean largely silent. And Mark, here's those scriptures. I just looked them up. The day of the Lord is near. The day when destruction comes from the Almighty. How terrible will it be? To you, Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures. In the wilderness, the flames have burned up all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant because the water brooks are dried up. And fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. This gives me goosebumps reading this. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And if you have anybody has been following what's going on up there, it is absolutely the gates of Dante's Inferno, the gates of hell. I mean, that whole tens of thousands of acres has been just absolutely catastrophically devastated. And like I said, there have been fires around this whole area. That was the worst hub of fires, but like I said, we had quite a lot of them right down where we live in Tellico Plains. And so if that's a harbinger of things, if God does send that harbinger to his people, again, we have to double down on not growing complacent. I think you would agree with me, Mark, in saying it's not the time to become complacent. It's not the time to stop, you know, with your preparations, your spiritual preparations, your practical preparations. You know, I think the scripture in a lot of ways teaches that great deception will go out. There'll be crying peace and safety. All these things among the unspiritual people that do not know our God will be crying and saying, you know, all this stuff. But then the scripture teaches sudden destruction comes on them. You know, again, don't double down. Double down on seeking God. Double down on your preps. Double down on it, because I really think that there's a day of reckoning coming, and it's coming soon. And Donald Trump, even though he means as well, and I'm glad he's there, by the very nature of what he's going to try to do, half of America that voted for the demon-possessed crone could – I mean, we see they go off their rocker pretty easily. I mean, when Barack Obama got elected, we didn't see the Christians and the constitutionalists, you know, beating people up and starting fires and looting and rioting. But when Donald Trump got elected, we saw these people, I mean, lots of them just go, look like they lost their mind, and they were just beating people up who voted for what they considered the opposition. They started fires. They were protesting. They were blocking highways. They were doing all these things. And so when there's 50 million of those or that supported her out there, I just think there's going to be some issues come up, and I think we're going to see some in the next few months.
I think so, and ISIS has threatened to make some trouble for Inauguration Day as well.
Well, I mean, you know, ISIS, who created ISIS? We go back to the creation of it and see where it's at. We do not know what weapons have been smuggled into our country. I mean, they could have nuclear weapons. They could have chemical, biological weapons. You know, they could do such a disaster leading up to or on Inauguration Day that it could force, I use that word force guardedly, because it could force Barack Obama to take dramatic actions that might have already been planned. Not trying to go conspiratorial, but I just know the nature of sin, Mark. I know the nature of God's judgment. I know the nature of sin. It's in the scriptures. It's plain. We're not going to escape the judgment that is coming. We're not. It might be postponed a bit. I don't know. Donald Trump could be the facilitator of that judgment. I do not know. We'll have to wait and see. But as a person who is waiting and praying and seeing, you know, as the scripture says, watch and pray, it could come quickly.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And it was one of my listeners had sent me that story about the Bible page, and it was it's Joel 1, and there's just a few verses on there that are visible, and I think it's the 15th verse, 19th, 20th, and then the first verse of Joel 2. So for listeners out there that want to look that up themselves, and in verse 20 of Joel 1, it says, "The rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." And that's one of the things that triggered the fires is the extreme drought. My wife and I traveled through there prior to the expo in Cincinnati, and it was just so dry. And you know, there were no colors in the leaves at the time of the year that it should have been peak season. And then a couple of weeks later, I went up there with a friend to do. We were going to do 5 days on the Appalachian Trail, and we were starting at Springer Mountain, and which is in northern Georgia. And when we got there, it was just clear as a bell. And the third day we were there, we started seeing the smoke coming in. And we started asking the other hikers and stuff. And they're like, oh, well, if there was a problem, the ranger would put a sign up at one of the crossings or something like that. I talked to another guy that claimed to be an experienced hiker. And he said, oh, a lot of times they do backburns. And I'm thinking, it's a weekend, it's peak season, and it's dry as a bone. Do you really think somebody would be doing a backburn in these type of conditions? It was windy, and so we couldn't really get any information, and we were at a point that we couldn't get any cell service, and I had an AM/FM radio. We couldn't get any information through that, so we decided to just turn around and start hiking back out. Come to find out, we were about 10 miles away from the fire, but when you don't have any information and you see all these people just being complacent and they're waiting for somebody from the government to tell them to get out. The whole valley is filling with smoke. It's not to the point to where you're coughing or burning your eyes, but you can sort of taste it in your mouth. I'm sure you just went through it, so I know that you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that, you know, it's getting in your mouth and it's starting to irritate your sinuses a little bit, and it's just getting at that point. And if you're a long way away from your vehicle, the smart thing to do is just turn around and get out of there. And we heard stories like that from Knoxville where people didn't hear anything from the government. The state and local government didn't tell them anything about evacuating. And then all of a sudden, 80 mile an hour winds swept up and the fire's burning their house down.
Yeah, the fires really, some people just had minutes to leave their home. And it's devastating. You know, it goes back to you can go back to example of the World Trade Center. There's many examples, and I think we did a whole program on this one time, that, you know, 75% of the people in the World Trade Center were sitting there waiting for people to tell them what to do. You know, 15% really panic, and they're dangerous. And only 10% of the people that are at the World Trade Center or in most catastrophic events sit there and go, you know, this isn't good. I'm getting out of here now. I don't need to wait for somebody to tell me what to do. I mean, you know, I'm going. And so this is the whole thing of why I tell people, do not let your guard down. If you're a spiritual person, if you understand the nature of God through the scriptures as revealed to us by the scriptures, we have to understand that there is judgment coming to our land, and it's amazing because the Bible says it will first begin in the house of God. Well, I'm just saying, this is a extremely religious part of the country, Mark. It might have began here.
Yeah, that's 1 Peter 4:17.
Yeah, it might have began here, and because He wants His people, the love that God has for us, He wants our fervor for Him, not plasma TVs, you know, not things, not you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, and it's easy to get entrapped by those things. It's easy to become entangled by them. The Bible says in Hebrews to lay aside the weight and sin that can so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Mark, I just tell you this. I feel this word in my heart, and I guess I don't do this too often, but I feel like this is the beginning of things that are going to happen. I think God's going to call His people first. I think He's going to rattle the church. And I think He's going to – those that are His, and there's a lot in the church that aren't His, but those that are His are going to hear the voice. They're going to take the time to build their ark, make sure their ark of safety is there, and Christ being the ultimate ark of safety – make sure that our relationship with Him is spot on. But if I'm right, if this is right, and judgment begins here, what's it going to be elsewhere? I think it could be very, very catastrophic for our nation. And so I just say this to those listening: prayerfully consider the words, filter them through the lens of the Scripture. If it has sound biblical merit, I would adhere to them. If it doesn't, just reject it and say Griswold doesn't know what he's talking about. But at the end of the day, how are we to respond to what we see going on in our nation right now? You know, you look at the leading up to World War II, leading up to World War I, to the two great conflicts. You look up to a lot of things. You know, even if you look up in Islamic versus Christian history, 1,400 years, there are preambles that are leading up to events that become catastrophic. You know, there were preambles to World War II and World War I that you could have looked at and said, gosh, it's obvious. Look at it. I mean, Mein Kampf, he wrote it there. What's the secret here, guys? How come you didn't see it? And so it's always easy to go back and look in, you know, the rearview mirror and say, you guys must have been really dull. You should have seen this coming. And yet we're all one of the dull ones at times. We don't see it coming. Because it's sometimes at the bottom of our heart, Mark, we really don't believe what the Scripture teaches. And God's love for us is so great that he wants our passion and our fervor and our love to be for him. That's what he said to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. You have left your first love. You know, go back and redo the things you did at the beginning when your passion burned for me. When that was there, go back and redo those things, you know. And I think that's part of what's going to see happening is if judgment does come first to the house of God, those that are His are going to find that passion for Him again, where He is our consuming desire. You know, I was a child of the Jesus movement of the 70s, and I remember the taste of that in my mouth. There was that passion among this whole counterculture of Jesus movement of people who said it didn't come out of the church, really. There were churches that went along with it, but it really wasn't born out of the church. It was born something of the Spirit, and massive amounts of young people were swept into the kingdom of God at that time. But there was this passion and this sweetness that was at that time when we were swept into the kingdom of God through that revival. It was just we loved God and Him only. And I think that's going to come again for those that are His. Now, I wanted to say that with a caveat. I think the amount that are really His are going to surprise people, as it is in the Scripture. If the numbers that the Scripture reflects, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, I never knew you. Many, many. But for those that are the few, I think you're going to see this rebirth of passion for Jesus. But at the same time, we're going to see a persecution and judgment come on our land. Persecution, you know, those that try to afflict our bodies, and a judgment, because when judgment hits the unsaved, they're going to get angry. The book of Revelation teaches us that, there's wide interpretation here, but that during that time, which I think we could be entering, during that time, that people will know that God is judging them, and what will they do? Will they repent? No. They're going to put their fist together, raise it up to the sky, and curse God. And when you're angry at God like that, what's the best way to take it out on God? Is through His people. So this is this blue-gray moment that I see in my spirit coming to our country. This division, this breaking, this separating. And for those of us that are His, it'll be a wonderful and good experience, although it can be painful and costly. But for the world, when this judgment comes, they're not going to have any answers. They're going to get angry. And if you see the anger they have towards Donald Trump because Donald Trump wants to do some conservative things, imagine the anger they have towards the Almighty, who's going to rebuke them for their wicked lifestyles and all the little sins they practice. Can you get a picture of that, Mark?
Wow.
Just imagine if they get that angry at somebody who just says, you know, we need to go back to the Constitution kind of guys, you know, just a little bit. and they're in the streets burning, what are they going to do to the God who says, you need to forsake this wickedness in your life? This is sin. You know, same-sex marriage, you know, abortion, pornography, all these things. You need to forsake this. This is sin. This is, I'm going to judge you for it. If they do that to Donald Trump, what are they going to do when they know the judgments come from the Almighty?
Yeah, it's true. And I'm going to leave everybody with that verse from 1 Peter 4:17. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" And we think about it. We think about why would God be judging the house of God? Well, in the 60s, when prayer and the Bible were ripped out of school, 93% of America self-identified as Christians. When Roe versus Wade was decided in the 70s, 90% still self-identified as Christians, even though they'd had several years with prayer and the Bible being out of the school system. Now, still 70% of America self-identifies as Christians, and gay marriage is now the law of the land. So that couldn't have happened if the Church of Jesus Christ was not derelict in her duties here in this country. So,
or I will say, Mark, or if that 90% were really the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's my scriptural understanding from those that will stand before the Lord in the day of judgment. Many. Now, if there are many there, I'd say there are many here. Does that make good mathematical sense?
Sure.
I mean, it does to me. If you're there and you were many, that must mean, with mathematical certainty, you were many here. Because I'm sure at the moment of death, you're not going to renounce your faith and become one of the many. There's many there because there's many here. So our church has been infiltrated, you know, by Marxist-leaning people that have denied the gospel. We see today the acceptance of Islam in the church, major church leaders. I just saw a story earlier, the Pope going in and facing Mecca and praying. It's there. So, again, get your heart right. Consider and prayerfully consider your ark, how God wants you to pray for it and prepare for it. Do those things that he tells you to do, but the thing you don't want to do is to let your guard down and to think we've won a battle. Because the nature of spiritual warfare is it does not end. And if Donald Trump was a spiritual warfare victory, consider with attack always comes counterattack. That's a classic of warfare. If I go in and invade a country and project myself a couple hundred miles into their territory and they fall back, they're falling back for a reason. They're going to fall back, reorganize, and counterattack. And a lot of times it's from your flanks where you don't expect it. So I just tell people, watch and pray. Be ready. Do not let your guard down. I do believe we are facing some very, very difficult days ahead. It's good we have a commander-in-chief that's not going to be pouring gasoline on the fire, but there's a lot out there that will pour gasoline on the fire and actually try to start the fires. And that's even a simile of what was happening up in Gatlinburg, even around us. They caught people actually starting fires. I mean, there are people arsonists up there starting them.
Wow.
So there are those out there that are demented enough to do those things. And, again, I go back to the question. And I'm not saying all 50 million are like this, but if 50 million people can vote for Hillary Clinton, which is obviously the most wicked, publicly wicked person in American politics ever. I mean, you name the absolute perverseness, and you can tape it onto her because she's been there and done that. If 50 million people can vote for a person like that, what does that say about the morals and values of half of America? Let that sink in for a moment. Let it be a sobering slap in the face. And it should be a sobering slap in the face to us. So while we're celebrating our guy won, keep in mind, attack, counterattack, and those counterattacks come by your flanks where you don't see it coming. It's a surprise. And I would be stunned, Mark, if that's not the case. I'll say that. I'm stepping out on a limb. I know it. I'm usually more reserved than this. But I'm stepping out on a limb. I'd say with almost certainty, expect an attack, and not from where you think it's coming. They're very smart. It'll come from your flanks. Your flanks, for those who don't understand, are your sides. You know, a frontal assault is usually very difficult and challenging, and it's costly. So what an army does is it presents something up front all the while it's trying to circle behind you. And so I would say be ready for it, because I would say with almost certainty it is going to come, and it's going to be very, very trying times for Americans and the world.
We're getting really close to Christmas, but we still got a few days left. Bob, for folks that maybe still haven't bought anything, they still can't think of what they're going to get for their friends or loved ones, instead of getting junk, are there some good prepper things that you could give people for Christmas that may end up saving their life or give them a higher quality of life somewhere down the line? And tell us the name of your website and just give us a couple of great things that you think would make a great stocking stuffer or Christmas gift from readymaderesources.com.
Well, first of all, I'll end on that note, but I really just want to go back and say, folks, this isn't about selling stuff. This is about getting your heart right with God and making sure you do that. Now, I'll tell you, let's go to school right now. Let's go to school on Gatlinburg and the catastrophe that happened there. And you know, Mark, so many times I've promoted two products. Obviously, you get to want to be able to feed your family and have a reserve of food and have water to be able to filter water. But the cell phone service went down in Gatlinburg. The telephone lines obviously went down. The only way you were able to communicate was ham radio. You know, I encourage people to get their ham radio license. I'm a ham radio operator myself. My call sign is Kilo Mike 4, India Echo, Quebec. Because with those ham radios, not just standard Walmart radios, they're not going to do what you need to do, especially in a mountainous area like we have. You're going to need to be able to get repeater service, which you can get, and you can communicate with your loved ones 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 miles away. And so we do have a package online. I'd be glad to talk to anybody about this. And the other thing is, you're out. Just search and rescue. Night vision and thermal equipment was invaluable up there for search and rescue. Looking, knowing. With thermal, you can actually see those fires a long, long, long ways away. You can see the directions they're moving. I mean, I recommend it strongly for a reason. At the end of the day, people know they need food and water. The two things people a lot of times ignore, how am I going to talk to my loved ones if we're separated and a catastrophe happens? And if a catastrophe does happen, I mean, it goes back to the fact I ask people all the time about night vision. Do you have a 12-hour rifle or do you have a 24-hour rifle? I mean, most people's rifle will work 12 hours a day. You can go out at night and pull the trigger, but you're not going to hit anything. I mean, you hit whatever, you know, happenstance makes you hit. But with good night vision, you know, you can take your weapon, and if you have people that are trying to hurt you or whatever, you can see at night very, very, very well with modern night vision. I mean, there's very little that you're not going to be able to see, and you're going to be able to, you know, deal with problems at hand. You're going to do thermal and night vision up there right now doing search and rescue. If you had to bug out at night, I don't know if you guys saw. I mean, you know, if you had to bug out at night and you couldn't see, I mean, thermal sees through the dark. I mean, night vision allows you to see. If, you know, you had to bug out and you might not be able to see well at night, with night vision you can do it. These are products I recommend to people so strongly, because in a time of catastrophe, if the grid goes down, if the cell phone service goes down, if your telephone lines go down, you know, you're going to want to be able to talk to your loved ones. Get them a ham radio license. It's not hard to get. The package we have on our website has actually a learning course included in it where you can actually go online and learn how to become a ham radio operator. You have to take the test locally, and there's thousands of places around the country where you can take the test. I would dare say everybody listening could find one within a half an hour's drive of a ham radio club where they could administer the test. But you can prepare, get it ready, and then not only can you do it for your own family, but you can actually start to become a community service. Because, you know, if you hear somebody's alive, if you've got a family that you've met and, you know, our loved ones don't know we're alive, you can go on ham radio, put it out, hit a repeater, and all of a sudden you can say, hey, I met the Smith family. Joe, Sally, you know, the kids are all safe. Can you pass that information along to their loved ones? They live here. And the police and others are monitoring ham radio. They're going to hear that. And they can go and say, listen, somebody's made contact with your family. We have five people. Here's their names. They're reporting that they're safe. And what a relief that is. I mean, you know, if you had family in Gatlinburg, even alive or dead, and somebody called you on the phone and said, listen, we've had positive contact with your brother Mark, and he's okay, his family's okay, what's that going to do for you? See, that's what ham radio does. And that's why I strongly recommend ham radio so much. It is the ultimate prepper tool, if you want to call it that. So if anybody has questions, they can call me. I'll gladly walk through all the intricacies of both these things. People don't know a lot about them sometimes. I'll be glad to talk to them about either one.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for making time for us today, and Merry Christmas.
God bless and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening, too. And just remember, it is the Savior of the world's birthday and not something else, but it is the Savior of the world. You know, I just imagine heaven 2,000 years ago when the Messiah was born. And for eons past, they looked into these things of what God had planned for the salvation of the human race, the mystery of it, and how Christ, God in flesh, would be born among us. Let's not forget that.
Amen. Bob, thanks again.
Sure thing. God bless.
In A Haunt for Jackals by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, Danny Walker's survival retreat has been devastated by violence since the detonation of the EMP. Regent Slusher's designs on absolute power have already brought him to Danny's doorstep once, leaving a trail of blood and heartbreak in his wake. Another conflict with a malicious dictator will spell certain death for the remaining members of the compound. Danny's only hope is to infiltrate Slusher's camp and bring him down from the inside. It's a risky proposition. If he is caught, he'll be executed as a spy, but there is no other alternative. In this epic struggle between good and evil, Danny's mettle will be tested, his faith will be tried, and he'll have to dig deep for the courage to continue. Buy your copy of A Haunt for Jackals, Book 3 of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.